So, continuing on from my previous audio boot, I think the person who, on the panel, I can't remember their name at the moment, who said that there's a problem with the Australian film brand, that is, audiences are actively hostile, or at best indifferent, to the Australian brand. I actually think they're hostile. And I know this from personal experience. I've been in groups of friends looking at films on the board at a cinema, and someone says, "What's that one?" And someone else in the group will say, "Oh, that's an Australian film." And there's no argument. They just move on to discussing or considering the next film on the list. It's, in fact, if I'm honest with myself, I probably did that a few times as a teenager. But whereas now I make an active effort to see Australian films in the cinema. Although even then, when Karina and I walk out of an Australian film in the cinema, what we normally do when we walk out of a film is, "So what do you think of it?" And we even give it a mark out of 10. Whereas when we walk out of Australian films, we say, "Okay, what would you give it out of 10 as an Australian film? And then out of 10 as a film?" And usually the answer is like, "Oh, it's a 7 or an 8 or even a 9 as an Australian film, but, you know, a 6 or a 5 as a film." Horrible to say, but very few Australian films have had the same score on both scales. And I think a lot of people do that, perhaps not explicitly as we do, but a lot of people do that. So, and an objection was raised on the panel. Someone said that's not the way audiences do it. That audiences don't go and say, "Oh, look, we're running late, we've missed the Canadian film, let's see the German film instead." Or, I don't like Austrian films, let's see the Italian film instead. People don't think about films in terms of their country. The objection was half right, I think. I mean, he's right in the sense that people don't think about their primary way of categorising films isn't into country, unless, I would argue, unless it is an Australian film. People don't go to, for example, the cinema and say, "Shall we see a film made in California or a film made in New York?" In fact, in the case of American films, the fact that it's American is almost invisible. And that's the real strength, I think, of American filmmakers. Their films, for the most part, whether they be independent films right through to big, dumb blockbusters, and not all blockbusters are dumb, of course, the films are undeniably American. They're explicitly American. They do tone down on their American accents a bit, sort of the so-called mid-Atlantic accent, halfway between Britain and America. But in all other respects, most American films are, even if they're set in the future on another planet, you cannot fail to think, most of them, that they are American. And yet, they seem to have universal appeal, not just in Australia. Australian filmmakers like to moan about the fact that they're culturally dominated by America, but the French prefer American films. The Germans prefer American films. Neither country are huge fans of America in terms of foreign policy or even culturally, but they prefer American films to their own. But not to the same extent as Australia. In Australia, there's the double whammy of audiences preferring American films, but also, as far as we can tell, being hostile to Australian films. And I think it's because of experience. There's only so many times you can let down someone before they don't give you another chance. I know that seems unfair because it's not the same filmmaker, sometimes it is, but it's not the same filmmaker letting audiences down each time. So it is unfair that all Australian filmmakers are lumped together, but audiences have noticed that Australian films are quite different to each other in many ways, but they have certain things in common. And this Martin Walsh, in one of his blog articles, broke it down to four items, four reasons Australian films are not resonating with audiences. You'll hear that phrase a lot on these sorts of discussion panels. And I think he's onto something with his four reasons. Like all true things, when you read it, it's kind of like a statement of the bleeding obvious. And yet, it's the first time I've seen someone write it down so succinctly into four points. Someone should tell him the rules of rhetoric, though. You should always have three, not four. But I think he's right to make a distinction between number three and number four, which I shall natter about in the next audio boo.